When Donald Trump was elected president, Seattle writer Ijeoma Oluo started worrying about how Trump's policies will affect the Affordable Care Act and the people who depend on it, about undocumented immigrants, and about emboldened hate groups and a purported increase in hate speech. So Ijeoma wrote a list. She called it, "What I'm Doing to Get My Black Ass Ready for the Next 4 Years."
I am going to a doctor. I'm meeting with my children's schools. I'm strengthening ties with my community of color. I'm reaffirming boundaries with allies. I'm identifying programs. I'm prioritizing my mental and physical health. I'm making lists. And I'm seeking out positivity every day.
Why'd you decide to put this list together?
You know, I think that there has been a lot of hand-wringing in the last couple of weeks, which is completely understandable. And I think right now there's this feeling of doom and dread, like the worst is already upon us. And
is that what you're hearing from friends too?
Yes, it is. I'm hearing it from a lot of people in the local community and online. You know, this is real sense almost of defeat. And what I wanted to get people focused on is, no matter what, we have a lot of work that we're going to have to do in order to protect ourselves, protect others, and really make sure that, you know, values of justice and equality aren't lost in these next 4 years. But I think what people are also forgetting is we actually still have 7 weeks, that we still have this administration, that we still have, you know, these support systems in place that we can be leveraging. We have research we can do right now before the real stress of the next 4 years actually starts, to really get ready to start this new year strong.
I didn't expect to see at the top of your list, "I'm going to the doctor."
Yeah.
What's that about? Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected it either, honestly. That was a real visceral reaction. And it was something that was really confirmed in speaking with a lot of other people as well. Really, you know, my first concern when I woke up was, I have got a huge battle ahead of me and I have to be healthy. I have to be able to physically hold myself together while I'm doing some really tough mental work. And so I immediately made an appointment for my doctor, and I avoid the doctor. You know, I guess it's ironic to say like the plague, but I do avoid the doctor like the plague. And I called my brother and he said, "Man, Ijeoma, I have been running like 5 miles a day every day since this election." And I was at a meeting with other journalists and they were saying, "You know what? I've made appointments with my doctor as well." I think, you know, a lot of what we've realized now is mental strain takes a lot of the same out of you as physical strain does. And if you don't have the physical capacity and your health isn't in order and your mental health isn't in order, it's going to be very hard to take on additional stressors. And we are looking at additional stressors.
You met with your children's schools. What do you want from them? What did they say?
Yeah, so that was a really wonderful meeting. I had a couple of meetings actually with different administrators in the schools. And, you know, for me, my primary concern, part of why I do what I do my whole career, is around my children and making sure that, you know, they are inheriting a better world than what we live in right now. And I saw the impact that this election has had on my sons, and I know that they're not alone. I knew that there were a lot of children of color who felt really betrayed, a lot of LGBT kids who felt really betrayed. I know a lot of kids with undocumented parents who are in a lot of fear. And our children spend most of their time at school, and I really did want to know what our schools were doing to fight that. And another thing that I have learned in working with schools over the years is, you know, they are stressed. They are taxed, and what gets addressed is what is most urgently asked for. And so I felt like I would not be doing my duty if I didn't let the school know that as a parent, my top concern was that they were doing their best to insulate our children from the impacts of this election and making sure that they were safe at school.
How would they do that?
You know, a lot of what we've been talking about are, you know, how they're addressing bullying policies. You know, there has been an uptick in bullying in many of the schools. And so making sure that they are reiterating with the kids that this is a safe place and that this sort of language and behavior is not tolerated. Increasing their capacity to add counseling services. A lot of schools, especially in Seattle, are incredibly understaffed as far as school counselors. And so knowing that they're going to have an increased need to meet students' needs, increase services for, you know, students whose parents are undocumented and for undocumented students as well, and making sure that they read up on these issues and know how to talk to their kids about this, making sure that they have translators, if necessary, to speak to parents to make sure this is all being communicated as well.
You also have a message in there to white liberals. You didn't say it exactly that way, but that's how I took it, that guess what? This is your problem.
Yes. You know, The message that I put out there is because I've been seeing this a lot, and I've seen it not only with how people have been acting towards me, but towards many other people as well. You know, I understand that I'm a writer, so people often do come to me for certain answers. But I noticed that people seem to be reaching out to their friend of color and saying, how do I fix this? And what I think a lot of people forget is, first off, it's always problematic to expect people of color to fix a system that they are inherently disempowered in. But also that they are feeling a lot of pain and a lot of fear right now and a lot of stress. And a lot of what people are thinking are more hypotheticals of, you know, well, this will, you know, it will be hard to see my friends go through this. It will be hard to see my community go through this. For people of color, this is a direct attack. And this is a direct threat that will, you know, really harm them. They are seeing an increase in hate attacks and things like this. So, you know, to see this onslaught of people, and I did literally have dozens of people every single day for probably 2 weeks after the election just asking me, tell me what to do. Tell me personally what to do. Tell me what to do. And I'm like, you know what? Right now I'm hugging my children. I'm trying to take a deep breath. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get through this. So my message was really, you know, be cognizant of the labor that you're asking people, because you have the work to do. You're going to enter this with much more power than anyone else. And you don't start by expecting people of color to start carrying that load.
I'm talking with Ijeoma Oluo, editor-at-large of The Establishment, about her list, what I'm going to do to get my black ass ready for the next 4 years. How is having a list, Ijeoma, how's that working for you?
You know, the lists are helping. It's changing, definitely. I think starting out with a list, putting down your options is always important. I think a lot of the rhetoric, especially around elections and around politics and around society, is that problems are too big to solve, that it is too all-encompassing to even start. So sitting down and making a list of small things that you can do right now can really help ground you and realize that, you know, all big problems are solved through small changes and small steps. And so making a list, looking at it, checking it off, changing it, sharing it with friends and community members is a really great way to not only keep yourself motivated and feel empowered, but to keep your community motivated as well.
You said you want to resist division. Do you think about your political opponents? Are they your enemy? Do you think about how they think, how they view what you do? Is that on your list of things to think about?
You know, for me, my enemy, I guess, if you were to say enemy, is not individual people. My enemy is the normalization of hate. And so where I find that in language, where I find that in film, where I find that in actions, that's what I will fight. So for me, I rarely, if you look at my work, you will rarely see me single out individual people, except for perhaps Donald Trump and what he represented to this entire nation. For me, it's that normalization. For me, the enemy is where people can say really hateful things and it gets laughed off. And people say, oh, that's just a difference of opinion. That, to me, is the enemy. So I think, you know, normalizing these sorts of things can turn really good people really ugly very fast. So that's my primary focus.
The final thing on your list is about seeking positivity. What's that look like for you?
Yeah, you know, this is really important. We have been so inundated. I think it's, you know, people feel like there's urgency, that we see what's happening, that we see the real threat, that people believe it now. And so what we're seeing is a flood of evidence of wrongdoing and hurt and hatred being perpetrated on everyday Americans. And that can really have a negative impact on you. And I think it's really important that we stay informed, but it's also important that we stay informed about the good that is happening right now. We have to know the good things that our friends and community members are doing. We have to be able to find joy, because we have to remember what we're fighting for. It's not just about what we're fighting against. It's what we're fighting for. And we're fighting for our community, which is full of love and full of talent, you know, and full of camaraderie. And we have to focus on that. So, you know, for me, it's really, you know, seeking out the everyday efforts that people are doing to stand up and resist hatred and resist division. It's seeing, you know, even just seeing children smile. For me right now, seeing black kids smile in a time where it really feels like blackness is under assault has been really, you know, empowering for me, and to remember that I am fighting to preserve that joy every day.
That's Ijeoma Oluo, editor at large of the feminist website, The Establishment. You're listening to KUOW's The Record.